Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. I don't know if you caught our last program coming towards the end of last week, but we heard all these potential threats happening to America as they warned us that every city they had the police out in force, and the words were that, you know, potentially very highly, you know, CBS News was reporting with the former CIA director that this time next week we'll be reporting, I believe, possibly about an attack that's happened to America. As you can see, we prayed. Remember, we got down on our knees and we put on sackcloth and we just asked God, God, would you spare our country? Would you prevent this? And the attack is where they were saying ISIS was going to come up and these long wolf terrorists and that type of thing. But the very one who was reportedly, I think his name is Ozzy, in Syria, that was provoking these certain rebellious individuals in our nation to come against and harm Americans, to hurt Americans, to kill Americans on the 4th of July. God heard our prayers, and guess what? He was the one that was eliminated on the 4th of July. Take a look at this.
Now, another developing headline at this hour. It involves an alleged terror leader who authorities say threatened American lives on the 4th of July. Well, tonight, new reports that he might have been the one killed on the 4th. Here's the image tonight, this ISIS recruiter issuing a message about the 4th, and then there's this, the airstrikes over the weekend, over the holiday. ABC's chief investigative correspondent Brian Ross tonight on the reports he might have been killed.
My dear Muslims.
Until now, U.S. officials considered this British-born ISIS recruiter, Abu Rahim Aziz, a key figure in online calls for attacks on America.
Look to your own actions, look to your own deeds. Have you done enough?
His most recent message, this posting last Friday about July 4th, Inshallah, a day to remember amongst other days. It was quite a 4th of July, but not as Aziz expected. His fellow jihadists said today he was killed as the U.S. launched a series of July 4th airstrikes on the terror group's home base in Raqqa, Syria. The U.S. today would not confirm his death. But late this afternoon, President Obama announced the U.S. is stepping up its attacks on ISIS leaders and recruiters in Syria, taking off the gloves.
We're going after the ISIL leadership and infrastructure in Syria, the heart of ISIL that pumps funds and propaganda to people around the world.
The president cited the attack on a Muhammad cartoon contest in Texas as the sort of threat the U.S. now faces. The men behind the attack were inspired by, among others, the recruiter Aziz, believed to have been killed on the 4th of July.
And Brian with us today. We saw the president speaking today, but Brian has learned that this American assault against ISIS leadership could involve more than just airstrikes?
That's right, David. In addition to the increased coalition airstrikes, there now could be expanded special operations forces to go after ISIS sanctuaries and its leaders.
That is so important because, you know, quite often God is so answering so many of our prayers. He sees us when we humble ourselves, and so many people prayed and asked God to prevent that. And think about it. The entire nation, the United States of America, God protected it on the 4th of July, on Independence Day. I think about this. I think about Jehoshaphat. Remember when Jehoshaphat, when he saw that there was threats coming against, you know, the nation of Israel, and he just prayed and he humbled himself. And God stopped this thing from happening. He prevented it, you know? And you look what happened. The very one that was provoking, reportedly, people to rise up and to hurt you and hurt Americans, God eliminated that person on the very day, on the 4th of July, that the threats were given to us. That's exactly what happened when the enemy was coming against Israel and Jehoshaphat cried out to God. And the very ones that were going to harm Israel and they thought they were going to hurt a nation, that God actually dealt with them. We need to celebrate. When God does these things, we need to thank Him and realize, you know, God is involved in the affairs of man, and He's looking for us just to pray and to ask Him, Lord, would you move? And another question we have to ask ourselves, you know, why is it coming to this? I mean, there's a book out right now, you probably can see it right here with me. It's called U-Turn by George Barna and David Barton. Now, George Barna is known for, doing a significant study over and over again on the church, and kind of statistically where we're at and what's going on. That's where we get a lot of our statistics from that we're talking about. We're going to talk about this today because, you know, it's about restoring America to the strength of its roots. And it's, you know, what was God's original intent for this nation? Where have we gotten to? What's going on in the context of the church today? Where are we in government? Where are we in education? Where are we with our defense and our economy? Well, they talk about it. And the original concepts, when you think about our founding fathers, when they signed the Declaration of Independence, they said, they knew that they were laying down everything. They knew that when I sign this thing, that it's my life, my liberty, and my resources. They knew that that was at stake. Those are just not words. It means everything they have, everything they are, including being hung or beheaded by the British Army for a rebellion that actually was the American Revolution that was taking place at the time. And so when they stood up for what they believed was right, God just backed them up. I mean, there's miracle after miracle that you can find out what happened. These were men, you know, of integrity, men that just knew this was the right thing to do, that all of our rights come from God, they don't come from men. And we got to get back to that mindset of saying, you know, our rights come from God. It's written in our Declaration of Independence. It's written very specifically, you know, telling us that our rights, you know, come from God, and that we have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so it's not wrong to go back to the original tent of the nation. It's not wrong to go back to the ingredients that brought about this nation. And it's not wrong to go back to God's original tent for the church. And I believe U-turn, when you think about it, it's sort of like, you know, God's end to U-turns. It's called repentance. What does it mean to get back to where we're supposed to be? Why are these things happening? Why are threats happening to our nation? Why is one man in Syria getting on social media and having that kind of access to our people, provoking that many people to want to harm Americans? How could that happen outside of God allowing it to happen? Because we have sinned and He wants us to turn back to Him, taking ownership for what's going on. And not only that, the requirement has never changed. It's been the same from the very beginning as a Christian. Jesus said, you know, unless you give up everything, you cannot be my disciple. Does that mean give everything away? Sometimes it does, but what he's saying is it's no longer your own. Whatever God wants to do with whatever he's entrusted to you, that's what that means. He said a man who wants to save his life, he must lose it. You know, and whatever you give up in this lifetime, you know, for Jesus Christ and the sake of the gospel, you'll get it back 100 times in this lifetime and the lifetime to come. But he also says, with it, persecution. And then he says, I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. I mean, this has always been there. He says, be on your guard, be as gentle as doves, but as wise as serpents. And so we just got to get back to the reality is, you cannot save your life. You cannot save your life and try to seek the Lord at the same time. You can't save all your stuff, all your things, all you want, like Achan did when he buried stuff in his tent, and saying, I'm going to just try this Christian thing. You actually got to lay your life down. You can't seek God's face and save your face at the same time. You can't. It requires, freedom is very expensive. And when we get back from the break, I want to share quickly what wars have cost us in the past. And my prayer is that maybe we never have to go to war. But it looks like, you know, the whole world is getting stirred up right now. The whole world, all the ingredients that happened in the past, prior to a war taking place, is happening in the world right now. But you know what? Our God is faithful. He is so faithful. Just think about this. He prevented an attack on our nation on July the 4th. God did that. We didn't do that by our strength. We didn't do that by our wisdom. God did that. When we prayed, and many people prayed and sought the Lord, God said to us, I will do this for you. But then after He does this, we need to repent and turn back to Him. We have to turn back to the Lord. And so when I think about this particular book that we're going to be talking about today, U-turn, and the authors are being interviewed right here. I want you to see this interview. Take a look at this.
This time of year, Americans are used to celebrating the nation's birthday and its greatness, but they may soon be mourning its downfall. That's the conclusion of researcher George Barna and historian David Barton in their book, U-Turn, Restoring America to the Strength of Its Roots.
These authors say that the U.S. is entering its own version of the Dark Ages, that any civilization that's gone where America is headed now has gone to ruin.
The founders gave us an amazing foundation, and for us to trample on it and say we're going to build a new one is folly.
The authors point out those early Americans were shaped by the Bible and a Judeo-Christian worldview.
They believed everybody should read through the Bible cover to cover once a year. That's what we did in school. That's what we did in spiritual life. That's what political leaders did. Not today. We can't even get Christians to read that word.
Today, only 30% of Christians read the Bible and less than 10% from cover to cover. And it shows.
Only 9% of born-again Christians have a biblical worldview. Only 51% of pastors have a biblical worldview.
It's led to a complete change in values over 240 years. Then, service to others ruled the day.
Your order of responsibilities is God, country, and family. And so that's part of the biblical thinking they had, which is why the founding fathers were told and specifically taught in schools, we have their textbooks, if someone comes to you and say, we need you to run for office, you're not allowed to say no. You said, I will run. Because, as they point out, your life doesn't belong to you.
Today, it's all about me.
Now we're just worried about comfort and experiences and entertainment and security.
That's led to a world of things that can pile up the kind of debt that can kill a country.
The average American family, they're looking usually at a mortgage debt of about $130,000. They're usually looking at a credit card debt of about $21,000. They're looking at a car debt of about $23,000, a college loan debt of about $24,000. And so we're so far in debt that we tolerate it in others.
Like our federal government.
Where we are right now, it will take 107 years of the full production of the American economy to pay off the debt we have right now. We are at a point now where 60% of Americans receive more from the government than what they put in. You can't sustain that.
Compare that to what Thomas Jefferson said.
We can live in debt and extravagance, but we'll be in slavery, or we can be free, but we have to use frugality. George Washington said, avoid occasions of expense. If you want to stay out of debt, just quit spending. And so the founding fathers very, very, very clear that what would destroy a nation is debt.
So where's that indicate America's headed?
Into the ash heap of history.
Reverend Sam Rohr invited Barna and Barton to address this gathering of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network because he wants a different outcome.
God's judgment on America and his hand of judgment, which is very obviously here, will put us down on our knees until we look up.
Church folks often say, look at what those people are doing to wreck our country. But Barna and Barton found in their research over and over again that church people are just as guilty as their government, as secular people, of the same kind of ruinous behaviors that are taking the nation down.
In a country that between 78-80% say they're Christian, but only 34% believe in absolute moral truth.
Barna on a regular basis asks Christians and non-Christians about 70 moral categories. And these days, he's finding no substantive statistical difference between Christians and non-Christians when it comes to most moral issues.
Stop pointing the finger and look at ourselves and say, are we really the church that Christ died on the cross for?
Rohr says the church should be confessing to God.
We are the problem. We have walked away from you, and the culture has followed us, not the other way around.
Barna says today's Americans believe they're smarter than the founders, maybe because of education and technology. But the founders had that biblical foundation.
They didn't have all the things that we think are necessary to have a sophisticated society today. But the key isn't sophistication. You know, it's wisdom, it's discernment, it's love, it's grace.
And so until we get back into God's plan and know what his plan is, we'll never get the nation back to where it needs to be.
Today we think that mankind has evolved. We're smarter and wiser than those people who founded the country hundreds of years ago. And yet they were so wise that they founded the greatest nation on the earth, while today's generation are well on their way to losing it. Paul Strand, CBN News, reporting from Lancaster Bible College.
U-turn, you gotta get it. We're gonna discuss it today when we get back from the break. What are they saying? What are some of the statistics that just kind of, which means where are we at this particular point in the nation? And it's not a place of despair, it's a place of now we know what we need to do. We need to have a U-turn. Join us after the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And can you move your arm now?
Jesus went around and he healed all. So all means all. It doesn't mean some.
There you go.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I want to be able to tell you about our next program real quick. Like, make sure you join us in our next program. We're going to be talking about, you know, healings. You know, how God is just, he's a healer. He part of being the church, there's He just heals. He delivers. You know, he saves and he sets free. He paid in full for the price. And you're going to be able to hear some testimonies of just some healings that just took place this Sunday, watching what God is doing. And I just want to believe, you know, begin to stir your faith right now that the Lord can heal you as well. He will, can, but just have the faith that he wants to heal you. So make sure you join us in our next program. And also don't forget about while there's space available, the Awakening Healing on the Gulf Coast, which is August the 28th through the 30th.
Yes.
With myself and Art Thomas. It's very, you have to register because space is so limited because it's going to be in the studios. Mm-hmm. So make sure everybody that comes needs to register. But you go to vfntv.com and just, it tells you on the banner there, how to click on that and just register and you've got a space. It's August the 28th
through the 30th.
You know, the price, when you think, I'm looking at this Freedom Isn't Free from Kamal Saleem. He had sent this out right here, John, talking about the different wars that we've gone through as a nation. And it says, you know, the American Revolution, which is the beginning of, there was 25,000 casualties and 25,000 wounded. Of course, the population wasn't as big as it is now. The American Civil War, when America fought with itself, there was 625,000 deaths, casualties.
Wow.
Over more than 500,000 were killed, our brother fighting brother. And there was 281,881 wounded. You add those two numbers up, you're just a few shy of 1 million people that were either killed or wounded when we fought with ourselves. This is why we don't want civil war.
No.
World War One, there was 116,516 casualties. And there was 204,000 wounded. World War II, listen to this. Deaths and casualties in World War II was 405,399. Wounded was 670,846. The Korean War, there was 54,246 casualties, 92,000 wounded. Vietnam War, there was 58,209,000. Casualties and 153,303 wounded. Iraq War, casualties 4,800, wounded 31,965. And the Afghanistan, casualties were 2,344 and wounded was 19,675. Freedom is just not free.
Wow.
These men and women laid down their life so that we could be here. And we can't squander what they gave their lives for.
Mm.
And when you look at the condition and you're reading, you know, this book, U-Turn, Restoring America to Its Strengths and Its Roots, you know, what the big question a lot of soldiers have when they come back from Iraq and they come back from Afghanistan is, what did we do this for?
Yeah.
You know, did you even know we were even doing this? And is there a reason for it? And I'm looking at this book by George Barna, called U-Turn. And some of the things, John, he talks about in here, he talks about, we understand that our lifestyles and our standards of living are on the downslide. Most people understand that. It says that 74% are dissatisfied with the way things are going in America. 74%.
Wow.
You know, we're going to talk about, in this program eventually, so what are you going to do about it?
Right.
75% are trying to find ways to lead a more meaningful life. In other words, the life they're leading is not what they think.
Void.
63% believe America is in the state of decline. 63% argue that things in our nation are generally headed in the wrong direction. And 54% no longer believe the United States is a country where anyone can get ahead or have a better life or better standard of living. 44%.
And this is the United States of America.
Yes, the United States of America. And they go on to write in there, it says, which you know, it says the majority of people do not have a positive outlook on America. The majority of it. And so if you're thinking, well, I can relate what they're saying, this is good because now we're kind of getting an agreement here that and to go further in this direction means we're going to go further
in the decline.
In the decline, you know. And so then he says, we likewise realize that the moral and spiritual condition of America is declined. So we as a whole, as a nation, 72% are saying religion is losing its influence on American life.
Mm.
72%.
Wow.
That's about exactly how many Christians profess.
Yeah.
74% argue that the state of moral values in our nation is getting worse. What's the other 26%? They didn't. Anyway, so that must be the ones doing. Anyway, 57% recognize that religious freedoms are being more restricted because of activist groups are trying to move society away from traditional Christian values. So 57% see what's going on. So it's still a majority.
Yeah.
56% believe that the Bible does not have enough influence on American society these days.
Wow.
It might be because we took it out of the schools and all that. Mm-hmm. And he says, we are kingly as a nation. We are kingly aware that government and politics are deteriorating before our very eyes. So the government is crumbling before our eyes. And the Lord told me very specifically, it's a house of cards.
Mm. Yes, I remember that.
And then when he told me it's a house of cards, then they had Cantor.
Was it some, Eric Cantor.
Eric Cantor removed. And he said, they called it a house of cards. And then the president was interviewed at a particular conference. And he says, hey, I need that next version of the house of cards. And then there was, April Fool's Day or whatever that is when he came out and he says he is, and I didn't know who this was, but what he was saying was that he's the character in House of Cards.
Wow.
And I'm like, it's a House of Cards. And so 85% say Congress is more interested in serving special interest groups than the people that they were elected to represent. 84%. 81% acknowledge that the most voters are not significantly informed about their issues when they vote for them. 74% are dissatisfied with the way that the nation is being governed, which is the majority.
Right.
72% perceive that America is more divided now than they've ever been in this lifetime. And 71% say that the signers of the Declaration of Independence would be disappointed at how the United States has turned out. 67% say that our government will never change for the better, never. And 63% indicate that they usually wind up being disappointed about the ones that they voted for.
This is actually encouraging.
Yes, it is.
This is encouraging.
If you're going to do something about it,
if you're going to do something, I mean, yes. At least we're moving in the right direction. We can see by a majority that things are on the decline. There's not people.
We're letting the minority, the squeaky wheel, get the oil.
Yeah.
When the majority of Americans don't like the direction that it's going
right.
in. 60% admit that the media coverage of presidential elections is unbalanced and biased. You with that? And 14% strongly believe that they can make a difference if they get politically active. 14% strongly believe that they can make a difference if they get politically active.
Now, is this Christians being polled or is this Americans being polled?
These are churches. These are people in the church. This is not. Yeah, this is people. That's only 76 in America. It's Everybody, yeah. Everybody in America
Everyone
is Christian.
Says it's Christian, right?
Yeah, because this is the population, so it'd be the population. 6% are very certain that the government has their best interests in mind. 6%.
Say that again. 6%.
6% are very certain that the government has their best interests at heart. 6%.
Wow.
That's not even a tithe. That's not even 10%. And then finally, he says in this survey here, this particular part we're talking about in his book, U-Turn, that all of this led most Americans to worry about the future for themselves and their children. 77% of Americans are concerned about the future.
Mm.
This makes me think about civil Christianity.
Yeah.
You know, you got to go to civil Christianity and sign up today. And only 17% say that it's very likely that today's youth will have a better life than their parents.
Mm.
I mean, it's like, okay. We're in agreement.
Right.
But the thing about it is, do you feel helpless? I mean, think about it. They called George Washington and the Minutemen and all those people that were standing up. They called them ragtag, right? Mm. Like a ragtag army.
Yeah.
And but they just, it was right. They stood up for what was right. And when you stand up for what's right, not what you perceive is right, not what you believe is right, what you have faith in God, what God says is right. And there's one thing about our founding documents and our papers in our nation. It says that all of our rights come from God. So when you stand up with that statement, you're standing up for authenticity. I mean, that's the truth, whether the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence was there or not. But we just so happen to have founding documents that say they agree with God. in regards to that part. And then the Constitution. I mean, every bit of this, when you think about this, the preamble of the Constitution, it's like we can stand up for what God, it's just right now we have a freedom. We have a freedom that we just saw all these men and women gave their life for us to be able to have. And they went out in the most rigorous of places to be able to fight for our freedom. And now we're in the most comfortable place that probably nations have ever seen before. Americans are the top rich, most wealthiest, most comfortable, you know, parts of the world. And this thing, can even in our convenience and our comfort, can we stand up for God and stand up for our country, right?
The interesting part to me is, who are they blaming for the condition that is in? Because if you're blaming somebody else and you don't see that it, you know, you contributed one, and then you don't see that you're part of the solution,
right?
It's when those people over there, whoever I'm blaming, get their act together.
Let's talk about blame when we get back from this break, because that's a big thing. Because when you shift responsibilities to someone or something else or anything other than taking ownership, nothing can happen. You surrendered your destiny. And that's very, very good insight for where we're going next. Join us after the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can public school students be stopped from wearing religious t-shirts? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'm a public school teacher, 28-year teaching veteran.
Great.
We have many Catholic students, and they wear very religious t-shirts. They have been told they cannot do it because it's religious.
They're not saying you can't wear t-shirts. They're saying they don't want religious t-shirts worn.
Right.
Look, there's some good news here, and that is, and we do need to hear from the students on this, Tom, so get the parents to give us a call. Here's the good news, though. We had a case of the Supreme Court, I argued it just 2 years ago, that involved political expression by teenagers. And the court reincorporated some decisions from the 1960s that said students have the right to freedom of speech, and they don't surrender that right at the schoolhouse gate. And we won that case, by the way, just 2 years ago. Unanimously, all nine justices recognized the student free speech rights.
To learn about a student's right to free speech in school, visit our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and there's a big link right there in the middle that says visit our sponsors. I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's Word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You know, we're just talking about blame right before we had went to break. And it is amazing how it's been taught now, I think, since the 50s. Barely in the 50s, big time in the 60s, coming into the 70s, and now it's just like commonplace. The reason why I am the way I am is because of, and you just fill in the blank, but it's never because of the choices that I made in my life.
No, of course not.
and somehow they started with, you know, having, you know, in the 60s, you know, what happened in your childhood? It was like, what was going on? And then the church even went to like, what happened to your great-great-grandfather so-and-so that was into something.
Right.
You know, it's like, dear Lord, at what point do we just repent and move on?
Yeah.
And so, but the people, you listen to people, almost every testimony that you hear, even in the church today, the first thing that you hear out of someone's mouth is, you know, this happened to me, therefore I'm a sinner, but thank God I got saved. It's like, but what happened? What about you robbed 10 banks? What happened to the sin in your life?
You know? At what point was this your responsibility?
And it's important, because if you believe the blame doctrine, it's not going to be good, because you don't repent for other people's sins. You repent for your own sins. Hmm. And the other people, generations repent for their own. But blame, if you think about blame like this, I mean, you take the letters of blame. It stands for, but look at my excuse. Hmm. Like, you have an excuse for your sin, right? You have an excuse for not participating, not standing up for the country, not standing up for what's right, for not doing what Jesus said. And the truth is that men are without excuse, Romans chapter 1. And there isn't an excuse. And everybody is personally held accountable for what happens in your life. You're personally held accountable. Hmm. Now, I know that this culture has convinced a lot of folks that, you know, you walk into a building and somebody says, look at this church. And it's like, no, the building's not the church. You're the church. If you're a Christian, we as the people are the church. We can meet in a barn. We can meet in a coffee shop. We can meet in a stucco building. But we're the church. But blame, that whole mindset, all of a sudden we start pointing at some organization. We blame a board. We talk about the pastor committee. Hmm. We talk about pastors. Or we talk, you know, all these different things, versus saying, you know, God's going to hold me personally accountable.
Right.
And that really is empowering, because when you see this statistically, most people agree the majority of America agrees, according to U-Turn here, that this is a horrific direction, that America's in decline, and it's worse than it's ever been before. And but the question is, are we going to own it?
Yeah, the pendulum has to swing back. Right now, the pendulum is towards government, the elected officials of 530 people.
530 people. Now, how many? 300-something million people in America pointing their finger
at 530 people.
Their finger pulled the lever to vote
exactly.
For.
Exactly.
Or their finger didn't show up to vote, which is a vote in itself.
Yeah.
35%. John Paul. 35% of Christians in America are not even registered to vote.
Wow.
You're complaining about the conditions of our nation, but you're not even registered to vote, according to Wall Builders. 35%, I believe it is. I mean, and the enemy's convinced you that somehow that all these soldiers who died, that it's, you know, and you have a right to vote or not to vote. But the whole point is, you're not going to have a country if you don't vote.
That's right. You know, I believe it was David Barton who said that you know, the culture followed us. We didn't follow the culture. Speaking of the church,
it was Barna. Yeah,
yeah. And so, you know, we have to take a look.
We're blaming the world for the condition of the church,
right? And it's like, wait a minute, isn't you know, it's an important question we could ask ourselves with a lot of these rulings and things that are happening and laws that are being passed. What happened? What culture that we allow that, you know, create an environment where these laws could get passed, where abortion is being discussed? I mean, there's a major, pray for this court case, because they're trying to, in Texas now, change a whole bunch of laws. It's going to Supreme Court.
But the whole thing, John, is that we legalized since 1973 murder.
Yeah. Yeah.
And these other laws are like pale in comparison to the murder that's been going on.
55 plus million babies.
And if you haven't read the Bible lately, and according to statistics, most haven't in America, you know, read about Josiah. Mm. You know, read about the innocent bloodshed that took place, and how God said that blood had to be answered for. And that's when you're looking at Israel going into Babylonian captivity. I mean, bloodshed of innocent lives, not the bloodshed of someone who was evil and did evil. I'm talking about bloodshed of someone who was innocent. And how can you be more innocent if you're still in your mother's womb?
Wow.
And Pat and I had watched this. I don't know if you got a chance to see this.
Not yet.
Partial birth abortion. You know, we didn't want to see it, but to see it, you're just like, you got to see it. We got to start looking at what really is happening instead of having an opinion about what we don't even know. Mm. And this baby was fully formed, John. Fully formed. And they delivered this whole baby. It's just like your baby that you're holding. Fully formed. They delivered everything but the head. They left the head in the birth canal. And then they took scissors and stuck it in the back of his head. And just scrambled his brains and almost removed his whole head, and then pulled him out. That was murder. That's
That's murder. And it's like, but this is the way America works, is it's a government by the people and for the people. A lot of people just constantly declare, hey, this is a government, you know, we the people. And it's like, that means this. You are allowing this to happen in your nation because the laws could change overnight.
That's right.
You could actually say to your leaders, we don't want this to happen anymore. End it. End it now. I don't care what happens. End it.
Right.
End
and if murder. You don't, we will elect someone that will, right. you know, vote our conscience. They'll make those decisions for us.
That's exactly it. You know, and hold the ones accountable that said that they would do whatever they do. I mean, that's how things are going to happen. But at the same time, if you're expecting righteous leadership, you need to be a person who walks rightly yourself before the Lord.
Yes.
You know, so often I think that, you know, a lot of Washington looks at what happened and how the church used manipulation and mm-hmm. everything else instead of just the power, the presence, and the love of God to be able to speak to folks. And all of a sudden they just kind of put us in a category as another political action committee or something.
Right.
Instead of people who love God and want God to bless our country and to bless them. So you think about blame. You know, what's in this culture? This culture is really blame.
Yeah.
It's so empowering to someone when they go like, you mean I don't have to take ownership of my life?
Right.
I mean, I don't have to take responsibility. The fact that I am hungry right now is the fact that I haven't worked in 7 years.
Right.
You know, I don't have to go out and get a job. You know, I don't have to learn any skills.
Well, one of the statistics that David Barton said was that 60% of Americans are receiving benefits from the government, you know, more than what they're actually putting in. 60%.
Yeah.
And so that's huge. I mean,
it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. I mean, we're coming to an end. It would be really cool if we repented before it came to the end, because God can begin to just, and I really believe, I strongly believe, and I hope that the church is going to awake. I mean, look how big she is. Look how the people who profess to be Christians. I mean, if you just wake up, it's going to cost you what it cost everybody who stood up. I mean, look at all these millions that have died for our country and stood up. And we appreciate everyone that stood up for our country, that wore the uniform, that served our soldiers. And we're very thankful and we're very grateful. And we pray the Lord's blessings upon you. And we apologize for what we're doing, what you fought for.
Yes.
But we just pray, you know, that God would give us this insight to know what it's going to cost. But Jesus said in the very beginning of this walk, he said, you know, it's going to cost you. You're going to get treated no differently than the teacher. By the way, he's the teacher in the context of that. Student's going to be treated no better than the teacher, which means you can see how Jesus was treated, and you can say, okay, that's the most I can hope for, you know. And if I'm not being treated like that at that time, you know, am I even walking with him, or maybe he's just being merciful to me in my life?
Mm.
Secondly, he said, I'm going to send you out. I'm going to send you out like sheep. And when you look at sheep and study sheep, you know, sheep are just so dependent on their shepherd. Their faces are not even designed to look up. They just look down all the time, you know. And they just kind of look down. They just kind of feel the shepherd and where he's going. They're always looking to the shepherd. And he says, I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. Now, the shepherd protects the sheep from the wolves. So he's saying, I'm going to send you out, and it's going to be just like if you were tending, you were a sheep being tended by a shepherd amongst wolves. And he says, I want you to be as wise, as gentle as a dove. So that kicks out all that fleshly responses to things that you're seeing, which never works anyway. But as wise as a serpent.
Hmm.
You know, Don and I were just talking about, you know, my wife talking about how snakes are so patient and cats are patient. They just stalk their prey. You know, God says, you know, to Abel, he says, Cain, he says, sin is crouching at your door and it's like stalking you. And when you look at cats and you look at snakes, they just patiently just watch and watch and watch and watch and watch and watch and watch. I mean, they don't have any legs to run around, right? And not anymore. And so all of a sudden, they just strike their prey. And so we have to watch everything, but unlike the strike of a snake, we respond with a gentle touch like a dove.
Mm.
So we're watching intently. We're being careful what's going on. There's so many people. They're looking down at their mobile devices, looking down at their life. I mean, they don't even look up at the stars. They don't look up at the people. And that's just like a victim waiting to happen, you know, like that. But especially when you profess to be a Christian, you have to pay close attention, you know, to everything that is going on in the context of that. And so he said the cost is laying down your life.
Mm.
It always has been. You know, I remember, you know, a church picnic years ago when I first gotten into ministry, and I was ministering with a friend of mine, and we were doing this church picnic thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was ministering with the young married couples and all this kind of stuff. So I was really, you know, naive about Christians at the time. And the husbands, you know, picked the wives on one side and the husbands on the other, and they're going to play volleyball.
Oh, that's fair.
Man. You know, and so I'm thinking, like, you know, everybody's just going to be lovey-dovey. It's going to be fine. These guys started spiking the ball in their wife's face, right?
Wow.
So I go back to the pastor I'm ministering with, you know, and I said, I don't know if they're saved or not. He spiked the ball in his wife's face. And but all of a sudden they came down there while we were beating each other up with a volleyball, no. And they said, there's someone with a gun in the parking lot. Mm. There's a lady with a gun in the parking lot. And a member, you know, of that culture.
Oh, wow.
And they said she wanted to kill her husband or something. You know, standard signal 20 for those officers that are listening. And so I'm running out there to the parking lot with these guys. They're huge. I mean, they're like me to John. I mean, they're not that big, but they're big. It's huge guy. I'm like, we're kind of jogging
He's
out
huge.
There to the parking lot. And all of a sudden, once I get to the parking lot, I look to both sides of me, and everybody was gone. It was just me, this lady who's digging for the gun, and her husband. And they weren't serious. They weren't ready to lay down their life for that mm-hmm. moment. I mean, and over again, I've been so naive. People flatter you. They tell you that they're there for you, and they're going to lay down their life for you, but they're in it for themselves. Listen, God knows who those folks are. That He's looking for you to stand up and be that person to go there and rescue that situation. He's looking for you to stand up for what's right. He's looking every day, officers stand up in our nations and our communities, and they go right into the fray, right into the fight, and they stand up for our community. As Christians, we need to do that. We need to stand up in love and kindness and mercy, but in truth, speaking the truth in love. We get back, we're going to talk more about this book, U-Turn, because He's talking about the difference in values in the beginning of our country and what they are today. It's going to be shocking. Mm. Join us.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I command blind eyes to see.
About 5 years ago, I got shot.
Yeah. Healing ministry is valuable not only in the sense that it's alleviating suffering throughout the world, but more importantly, it is awakening people that if God is capable of working miraculously in this physical body, how much more capable is He of working miraculously to my spirit and saving me for eternity?
The doctor said that you had a torn rotator cuff. So show me what you couldn't do 5 minutes ago. And can you move your arm now?
Oh my.
Jesus went around and He healed all. So all means all. It doesn't mean some. It doesn't mean, no, only a couple. He said all.
Okay, go now. Okay, now move around. Tell me how you feel. Muscle, tendons, ligaments, and bones be reattached now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Now move it around.
And how do you feel, man?
Whoa! He's, oh my gosh, dude!
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about U-Turn, Restoring. It's written by George Barna and David Barton, two amazing men that have kept our feet to the fire about who we are. If you haven't yet got the Founder's Bible, I encourage you. If you haven't yet got the Founder's Bible, you need to get it. It's David Barton's life work, and it's a book that you carry, and it's a tangible Bible about the Founder Fathers and all that. You can read the Word of God. So important. I encourage you, too, you know, part of getting some foundational things to get a Noah Webster's original dictionary.
Yeah, 1828.
And if you haven't yet, sign up for Civil Christianity at civilchristianity.org. It's time for us to learn how to be civil Christians in a civil land. And that word, the definition of what civil means from Noah Webster's is right there. You can see it. And if you sign up today, you'll be informed and kept
informed about what's going on, upcoming events. Your information won't be shared, but we've got to begin to come together in agreement. And there's a pledge there to be able to sign. It's the same pledge with a little updating of Dr. King. Mm. You know, if you're going to walk together, this is the pledge. And look what he was able to do, and God was able to do through him because he did that. So this is the book. It's by George Barna, David Barton. U-turn, which means repentance, and we want to talk a little bit about that when we finish this part right here. Restoring America to its strength of its roots. And listen to this, John. Mm. This is the two lists side by side, and this is today's core value versus early America's core value. So what is our core values? And we're just barely skipping some of the stuff in here. You got to get this book. And but it says right here, today's core value, for example, is belonging and acceptance.
Hmm.
I just want to belong, and I just want like a million hits on my YouTube video.
Which is dangerous, because I'll do anything to be loved and accepted.
I have a million hits on my video, you know. Yeah. Belonging and acceptance. You know what the core value was in early America at that point compared to that? Justice.
Wow.
They wanted justice. Today's core value, comfort. The early American core value, contentment.
Wow.
Learn to be content, you know, in everything. Today's core value, entertainment. Early America's core value, hard work. A big change,
wow.
Right? Today's core value, experiences. You just want to experience some things. I want to experience some stuff, you know. How about experiencing a job?
Right.
And the early American compared to that is core value is civic duty. And that was serious. The word duty meant something, that you have to do your duty, whatever that is. Today's core value, expressiveness. I just want to express myself. Early American core value is truth and honesty.
Wow.
And this is just totally different.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's not hard to see how why we've deviated the way we have in the results that have occurred as a result.
New. Today's core value is financial security. Hmm. Then humility.
Lord help us.
Right? Humility means you don't kill people so you can have financial security.
Yeah.
Right? Anyway. Today's core value, flexibility. I like to be flexible. Flexible. You know, all kinds of different hours I can work so I can actually enjoy myself. Early America's core values, moderation.
Wow.
Today's core value, freedom. Early America's core value, freedom. They line up. Today's core value, happiness. Back then, it was happiness. Today's core value, love. Just trying to find love. You know, love wins. I just want to love. Early America's core value was faith. Think about that. Faith. Today's core value is meaning and purpose of life. Just trying to find the meaning of this thing. Mm. Do you ever think about asking the creator?
Right.
The one who created all things.
I think there's a book for you.
And the earlier compared value to the early American was rule of law. So think about that. Mm. Meaning and purpose. And the rule of law is just thrown out. Today's core value, personal control. I'd like to have personal control. Like everything, like a widget, a app for everything, right? And the early American core value was frugality, you know, frugal. The today's core value is self-reliance and independence.
Mm.
Early American's core value, chastity.
Wow.
Today's core value is speed. Quick, fast, get it done. Hurry up so I can do nothing. Early core value is simplicity. There's nothing like simple.
Yeah.
And finally, the last one he compares is today's core value is stability, and the early American core value is cleanliness.
Mm.
I mean, think about it. You know, going back to our original tent, we got to be the original people that was there. I mean, what does, when you think about repentance, you hear people say, I mean, how many people say they're sorry? And if you say you're sorry, but you don't repent, then you're still in your sins. You're a sorry sinner, but you're still in it. But if you turn to the Lord and say, I want to make you the Lord of my life, and I want to know your ways. I want to find out what your teachings are. I want to be your disciple. And a disciple, Jesus said, this is who really is my disciple. Those who know my teachings and follow them. And guess what happens when you follow them? He says, then you'll have freedom in your life. Freedom comes by following God. That's the way it works. Mm-hmm. And so, but repentance would be, what I'm doing ain't working. Most of America is saying in these statistics, according to U-Turn, it's not working what we're doing. We need to go back to the original intent. What was God's original intent? And it goes in, it has today's statistics for the church, and it's no difference. And it's like what you said, you know, the church is pointing at the world, pointing at people who are not Christians in America, saying, you have led the church astray. And what they're saying, which is authentically true, no, the church has gotten into sin and we've led America astray.
Yes.
Because Jesus, this is the word of God says this, if my people, when you start seeing these things, if my people who are called by my name, he's not talking about people that are not Christians. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, remember humility and the early mm-hmm. core value, and pray, begin to talk to God and listen to what he says, and turn from their wicked ways, which is repentance, U-turn, you think about it, then I'll hear from heaven.
Then.
I will hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sins. Listen, God wants to forgive your sins, but there is a way of approaching him that's the original intent, what Jesus laid down when he laid down his life on the cross, and God picked him back up from the grave 3 days later. There is only one intent. And if we'll do this, if we'll begin to abide with the Lord once we make him our Savior, Lord and Savior, he will lead us to a place we need to go. And if you don't know how to abide, and a lot of people do, but they don't have a plan, we have one for you at iabide.org. iabide.org. You got to begin to abide with him. He created everything. Mm. He is the original intent. A church, by the way, is about him,